ask you what this is? The Bible. Many of you got a Bible? Many of you got a Bible with you? No, it doesn't just have to come in this format. You know, it can be a tablet, it can be a phone. I'm going to be using a number of Bible references this morning, some of which I'll go over quickly, but some I want you to look at. So if you do have a Bible, it would be helpful. It'd be very helpful most mornings, most Sunday mornings, to have a Bible. But one thing I would ask you to do is, particularly if you've got a tablet or a phone, don't be tempted to go on to what Peter Kay calls Tinternet, or the interweb, or whatever you want to call it, to look at Facebook or Instagram or whatever the more modern versions are that oldies like me have forgotten about. If we're going to look at our phones, look at them to read the Bible. I remember at Willowfield sitting at the back, because we you know, people would lead services, preach, and occasionally somebody would always be around the back just to see who was coming and all the rest. And quite often I'd be sitting at the back reading through the Bible on my phone, and this wee lady came over one morning and says, "Look, son, if you're going to be a minister, you shouldn't be looking at stuff on your phone." I said, "Honestly, look, I'm looking at the Bible." So this morning we're talking about gentleness as the fruit of the Spirit. I'm sure quite often we pray for patience. You know that famous prayer, "Lord, give me patience, but give it to me right now." Or we pray for love or purity or self-control. But how often do we pray for gentleness? It's probably considered more like good manners rather than as Christian virtue. Gentleness quite often goes with meekness and can be confused with meekness. Gentleness is like an active thing, where it describes the manner in which we treat others. Meekness is a wee bit more passive because it describes our response when others mistreat us. Billy Graham defined gentleness as mildness in dealing with others, about displaying a sensitive regard for others and being very careful not to be unfeeling in considering the rights of others. Gentleness can quite often be seen as weakness. It's like you're timid or cowardly. But what I want to say this morning is gentleness is a godly virtue. And it's actually born of power, not weakness. And I think when we know that we're loved where we come from, when we're secure in our relationship with God, it enables us to be gentle. So if you've got your Bibles in whatever shape or form you have them, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 is probably a fairly well-known passage in the Old Testament. If you're struggling, it comes just before Jeremiah. Okay, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. It's actually, we should do a test some morning, who knows all the books of the Bible, you know, can say, because it was drummed into me at school. Probably don't do that anymore either. But Isaiah 40 is a chapter about the power of God, mainly. But it also is about tenderness. And I remember it because the film Chariots of Fire, about Eric Liddell, just before he runs in the Olympics, he's actually preaching at a church in Paris. And he uses as his text Isaiah 40. And I remember he starts off, "Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales." But I want to start in verse 10. That was verse 15 I read. Verse 10. "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." And then jumping down to verse 25. "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number and calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." It speaks of the power and the might and the majesty of God. But just after verse 10, verse 11, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. So God is powerful and mighty, but almost in the same breath, Isaiah says, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. So in this one passage, it's described how limitless God's power is, as well as his gentleness. A shepherd carrying his lambs close to his heart. It's a forerunner of how Jesus, the good shepherd, looks after his little ones. So gentleness doesn't mean weakness or weakness of character, because it takes strength to be truly gentle. Now, if I could ask Jamie to put a picture up, I'm well known for my PowerPoint slides. This is the only one you're getting during this sermon. Who's that? It's a footballer from, he played most of his football in the 50s. He played for some great teams, and he played for Leeds United as well. Sorry, I couldn't resist that, Sam. I couldn't resist it. They're top of the championship. Let's not mock them. This guy called John Charles, he was Welsh, but he was a famous footballer in the 50s. He was a big guy, well over 6 foot. People tended to be a wee bit smaller than us in those days. But he's a big, powerful guy. Do you know what he was called? He was called the Gentle Giant. He was never booked or sent off in his entire career. And how many modern footballers could say that? Like Sergio Ramos certainly couldn't. John Charles, the Gentle Giant, he was one of the first British players to be transferred to a rich European club. He was called the Gentle Giant because whilst he was powerful and he scored lots of goals, he played centre-half and centre-forward, he was a man to be respected. He treated opponents with respect, despite playing hard, but he played fair. The Gentle Giant. And it was, to me, that was an example of how we can have power and gentleness at the same go. So, okay, you can take my one slide away now, Jamie. If you want to turn to Psalm 18, Psalm 18, 35, verse 35. Now, I'm sure most of us have got different versions of the Bible. So, like, for instance, how many use the NIV? Yeah, fair few. Anybody use the ESV? Yeah, few faithful remnant there. I tend to use the ESV. There's nothing wrong with whatever translation you use. It's just whatever you tend to like. But I want to draw out the two different ways that this verse, Psalm 18, 35, is translated. The NIV says, "You give me your shield of victory, and your right hand sustains me. You stoop down to make me great." Whereas the ESV says, "You've given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness makes me great." Now, they're not saying something different. It's just the way the translators translate what the original Greek was. So the ESV says, "Your gentleness made me great," and the NIV says, "You stoop down to make me great." But they're talking about the same things. So gentleness can be seen as stooping down to help someone. And if you think about it, God continually stoops down to help us, especially in the one, as we say in the communion service, the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus. And he wants us to do the same, to be sensitive to the rights and feelings of others. That's what gentleness is about. But let's look at the person who best exhibits gentleness, who's the person we should be following. Let's look at what Jesus was like. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1, Paul is defending his ministry to the Corinthians, and he says, "I, Paul, myself, entreat you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am humble when face to face with you, but bold towards you when I'm away." He's talking about the meekness and the gentleness of Jesus. So how do the Gospels describe the gentleness of Jesus? Well, the verses that Jim read out at the start are from Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is gentle. There's another verse in Matthew where it talks about a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. The bruised reed and the smoldering wick refer to people who are hurting, spiritually weak, or of little faith, and Jesus deals gently with such people. He doesn't condemn them, or you or me, for our weakness. He doesn't come down with a heavy hand. Rather, he deals with them gently until their true needs exposed and they open up to him for help. There's the encounter with the Samaritan woman, which again illustrates his gentleness. It can be found in John chapter 4. It's firmly but gently, Jesus continues to probe this woman's need until she recognizes it herself and turns to him to meet her. Now, I'm not going to read out all of the 30 verses of this story, but this is where Jesus is going through the country and he passes through Samaria and he comes to Jacob's well, and there's a woman there drawing water. And he says to her, "Give me a drink." And he then starts to talk about the gift of God and about living water. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again." So he's given her a pep talk, a short sermon, an insight. Then he says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And it's like the woman's deflated. "I have no husband." And she says, "You're right," because Jesus knows. He said, you've had many husbands, and the person you're currently living with isn't your husband. But he doesn't do it in a harsh way. And he deals with her in such a way that when his disciples come back and say, "Who were you talking to? Why were you talking with her?" That the woman leaves her water and goes into town and says to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can he be the Christ?" Jesus treats her with compassion and gentleness, and she responds. He doesn't sidestep the issue of the morality of her life, but he does it in a gentle way. And it reminds me, and again, I'm going to fall flat probably here with my illustrations of films. Who's seen the film Pretty Woman? Oh, God. Decent response there. You know the story. Julia Roberts is a prostitute and she meets up with Richard Gere and, you know, they get to know one another. Richard Gere, for the most part, and certainly at the end, treats her with respect as a person. But you remember that scene where Richard Gere's sidekick comes in and treats her with contempt? You know, "You're just a prostitute." Compare the two as to how, yes, she is a prostitute. You can't get away from that. But how is she treated? You know, we need to be careful that whilst not ignoring sin, that we treat people with respect. The word Paul uses in the verses on the fruit of the Spirit for gentleness is a Greek word, which I'm going to pronounce wrongly probably, is praeotes. So if there's any Greek speakers in the congregation, you can come and correct me later. And that's the same word that's used, do you know, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." It's that same word. It's usually translated meek, mild, or gentle. But it's also more than that. It refers to exercising God's strength under his control. Remember earlier I said about power and weakness. It demonstrates power without undue weakness. It's gentleness and strength. Reserve and strength, power and control. And those are used words that are not sort of don't come to mind when we talk about gentleness. But consider Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Matthew's account of the incident, he refers to Jesus as a fulfillment of Zechariah's promise from hundreds of years before in the Old Testament. "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." You think about it. the King of all kings appears, the most powerful figure Jerusalem has ever known, and the thunderclap entrance that he chooses is gentleness. That's how he announces he's the king. He comes gently. He shows up on a donkey. He could have come accompanied by 10,000 angels, but he comes on a donkey. But then, just after this entrance, he overturns the tables of the cheaters in the temple, the money changers, which you could think maybe doesn't seem so gentle, but to me it says something about their power and gentleness. Jesus was upset about what they were doing to his father's house. So gentleness is not a giving up of strength. Rather, the Spirit's powerful, and we need to see we're actually given access to that power. We're not the source of it, but we're the instrument of it. And we're not to wield the power of the Spirit harshly or without purpose. So, we've looked at Jesus, the epitome of gentleness, but also of power. And in the verse that I read earlier from 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about he entreats the Corinthians. Or in the NIV, it says he appeals to the Corinthians. Paul could have been really annoyed with the Corinthians because they were undermining his authority. Other people were undermining his authority. But he didn't. He chose to treat them with gentleness. And you see, gentleness has been sensitive to other people's ideas and opinions. It's not about having sharp or rough edges. It's okay for us to have opinions, but don't be saying, clearly, if you were a Christian, you must believe this. You know why you can make people feel bad? It's not about us setting out to make others feel guilty or inferior or inadequate. You see, it can be a human tendency for us to think we're okay and it's others who are weak and sinful. And I make no apology for coming back to this passage again and again. It's from Luke 18. Luke 18, beginning at verse 9. So if you want to look this up, Luke 18, verse 9, and it's the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He wouldn't even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, humility goes hand in hand with gentleness. It's not about breaking the bruised reed of the hurting Christian. It's about showing respect, not threatening people, but treating people with compassion. It's not about being blunt or saying exactly what you think, and well, tough, you just got to accept what I think. I mean, I've had experience, and I'm sure we all have, but I've had experience of others, not necessarily Christian, being blunt and saying it as a virtue. And they ignore or don't seem to care about the devastation that's left in their wake. And when you challenge them and say, you didn't say that very well. What? What did I say wrong? It's the truth. That's not being gentle. There are ways to speak the truth. And even a personal example, I when we were worshiping yesterday at Kingdom Men, God brought a situation to my mind and sort of prompted me to think, were you gentle when you said that to that person? And I had to go and apologize to say, look, I said something a while back. I could have been more gracious in how I said it. I'm not saying what I was going to say anyway, but I could have said it in a nicer way. And I think we need to challenge ourselves, not hide behind the truth, but how are we expressing the truth? You see, it's not about being right. It's about being righteous. And we have to be careful not to pursue the argument, to prove ourselves right and ignore the effect on other people. And I again, I've probably used this example before, but maybe not all of you were here. But the guy I work with grew up in Dungannon. Now, that doesn't make him a bad person, okay? But he was involved in the youth fellowship, and usually after the youth fellowship on a Sunday night, the young guys, the ones who just learned to drive, would go out raking around the country roads. And he said, one night, we're raking around the roads, and this rabbit appears. And the guy doing the driving, let's see if we can get the rabbit. And this rabbit's going like the clappers down the road, and they're chasing the rabbit. And before they knew it, they were through the hedge and in a field, because they were so busy trying to run down this rabbit, they ran off the road. You see, and there's a way in which sometimes we can be so keen on pursuing an argument, we don't see the effect it has on other people or where we end up. Security in God should mean that it's not about justifying ourselves. It's not about allowing ourselves to feel threatened or resenting those who oppose us. Because where does our security come from? It has to come from a relationship with Jesus. Only Jesus. So if we're seeking to obey God, we should actively pursue gentleness. Strive to clothe ourselves with it. You see, hopefully what I said at the start, you know, about Bibles and phones and not looking at Tinternet instead of reading the Bible, hopefully that was compassionate. Because what I could have said is, see if you're going to come in here and look at the internet instead of listening to my sermon or reading God's word in the Bible, get out of here now. That's not being gentle, is it? It's maybe saying the same thing, but it's not being gentle. It's how we say things. We bring people with us. And don't be harsh in our judgment. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 6, it's his final charge to Timothy. And he said, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. So we need to put gentleness high on our list. It's a godly virtue, and it's a fruit of the Spirit, and we need to produce it in our lives. We need to treat other people considerately. Towards the end of Philippians 4, it's another final exhortation. Paul had been given his final exhortation to Timothy, but this is his final exhortation to the Philippians, and he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And in Timothy, 1 Timothy, when Paul's talking to Timothy about qualifications for overseers, for elders and deacons, one of them is not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle. Titus 3, verses 1 and 2, remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. There's many verses that we could look at to talk about being gentle and considerate. It actually, in a way, it's said so often that we can miss it, we can pass over it. And Paul uses a couple of different words. There's the praotes word, there's another one, epikeia, which is about justice. About the yielding of a judge who, instead of demanding the exact penalty required by justice, gives way to circumstances which call for mercy. And I remember an illustration of this I came across where two guys grew up together, best of friends, but you know, you get to that age, maybe late teens, early 20s, their lives went in different directions. One went into the law, ended up being a judge. The other one, life was a bit of a mess, got involved in drugs and different stuff. And many years later, the judge is in his court, and who is brought up in front of him but his friend from childhood? And the judge is, you know, it's quite a serious charge. The judge is sitting thinking, what am I going to do? I'd love to be able to let him off. I'd love to be able to show mercy to him. But what he does is he passes sentence on him. And he gives him the harshest sentence he could give him, a really heavy fine. But when the case is then dismissed, the judge goes down and the judge pays the fine. So the guy has been convicted. He's supposed to pay the money, but the judge pays the money for him. And that's something of what God does for us. We don't have to pay the fine, the penalty for our sins. God does it for us. But similarly, we should have that quality of mercy and grace when we're treating other people, that we're not taking delight in their sin or how their lives are. We're better than you are. I'm glad I'm not like that. That's not what gentleness and compassion is about. So in our dealings with people, we need to recognize the truth of a situation. We need to call out wrongdoing, but we need to do it with compassion and respect and gentleness and tenderness towards the people involved. So, but not insisting on the letter of the law. And you see, some Christians, and I'm sure I've done it as well, we seem to enjoy too much the thought of sinners going to hell. Because we're not going, but they are. Look at the mess of their lives. We should have compassion. And gentleness implies we should be more like Jesus weeping over Jerusalem when we're dealing with folk in sin. We need to know the truth and declare it, but do it in a way that shows compassion. It's saying, this is what I believe, and I believe it's best for me and best for you. And not being afraid to say, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So ask yourselves, how do others see you? Do they see you as rigid, unyielding, inflexible, or reasonable, humane, and gentle? And one final thing. And this is addressed to men. Because I think sometimes men can see gentleness as being the least appealing of the fruit of the Spirit. It's okay for women to be gentle, but not macho men. That's not what we're called to. Well, that passage in Thessalonians that we read says in verse 7, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. And the image from Isaiah 40, he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. So, men, don't be worried about being gentle. It's not even about don't be worried. Strive to be gentle because we're following the example of our Lord. So what does all this mean? What are some steps we can take to develop a gentle spirit? Well, we have to want to be sensitive in our dealings with others, to try to look on them as God looks on them, to care for people, to care what happens to them. Ask those who know us best and be honest to say how we come across to others. Do we intimidate? Do we dominate? Do we always want the last word? Linda's very good at reminding me, if after she's heard me say something to somebody, to say, did you really mean to say it like that? We have to be constantly reminded of how we relate to people. Ask the Holy Spirit to make us aware of the times when we don't act of gentleness. And let's say, I had a personal example of that yesterday morning. I wasn't asking the Holy Spirit, but he prompted me. Look at the scriptures about gentleness, because there are a lot of them. And pray. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you and to help you. And the end of that Thessalonians passage that I read at the start, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. It's about trying, as a father and a mother deals with their children, deals with them compassionately, sometimes with firmness, but with love and gentleness. That's what will help us to live lives worthy of God. to be called into his kingdom and glory. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would show each of us today what we need to do to show gentleness to each other, but especially to people who don't yet know you. Father, that we would bring honor and glory to your name because of how we treat people. That we would treat people with love, but also gentleness. That we wouldn't shy away from the truth, but would show compassion. Lord, I know that I need to become more gentle, and I'm sure the rest of us do as well, but Lord, we need the help of your Spirit. So I pray that your Spirit would work on us today and in the coming days, just to reveal situations to us, to show us how we can show more of your love in a gentle way. For we ask this in the name of our gentle Savior, but our strong and powerful Savior, the King of Kings, Jesus. Amen.